Good morning. Mark this day on your calendar. You may never again be addressed by three dentists in one session.
So that
dentist has more handouts. If anyone did not get one at an earlier session, so just take a couple minutes here to kind of quickly review what we've talked about to this point. And we've talked about this unbroken chain that we have, if you will, of chronology in the Bible. And we talked about the first link in that chain was the generations of Adam to the flood, which was 1,656 years. The next link in that chain was the generations of Shem from the flood until the promise, the gospel was preached to Abram, in your nation, or in through your seed, all nations of the earth will be blessed, preaching about Jesus. So we had that link in the chain, which was 367 years till Abram received the promise. And then the next link in the chain was from the very day that the promise was given to Abram, 430 years until the day that the children of Israel came out of bondage in Egypt. So we've so far covered those three links in the chain. And right now we're talking about on pages 18 and 19. And this morning we'll get into the fourth link in the chain, if you will. But we're getting into more of the details now of the chronology of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, wandering in the wilderness, and conquering the Canaan land. And we got down through most of the table there on pages 18 and 19. And if you'll remember, we discovered that they left, their calendar started in Exodus chapter 2. God said, this will be the beginning of months to you, the beginning, the first day of the first month of the first year of the Jewish calendar was when they came out of Egypt. He established the Passover to be on the 14th. That wasn't the day that they came out. I'm sorry. That was the day he told them to start their calendar. He instituted the Passover on the 14th day of that first month. They arrive at the wilderness of Sin on the 15th day of the second month, and they arrive at Mount Sinai on the first day of the third month. So it took them 46 days to get to Mount Sinai. And then they received the law there. They had about 10 months there to make all the things that God commanded them to make there. For he gave them specific instructions, we know, about building the tabernacle, all the articles of the tabernacle, the priestly garments. So they spent those months there making those items. And then on the first day of the second year, the tabernacle is put up for the first time. We have the priests consecrated. We have each tribe bringing an offering, one offering per day, and that occurred during the first 14 days of the first month of the second year, which brings them up to the second Passover that they would observe. So we're down here on your chart to the bottom of page 18, excuse me. And we had a lot of detail there up until Numbers 10 and 11, when on the 20th day of the second month of the second year, the cloud is taken up from the tabernacle, and they finally are able then to continue on their journey. So they were at Mount Sinai 10 days short of one full year, receiving the law and doing all those things that we talked about. Then the next reference point that we have in Numbers, where we're given a point in time, was in Numbers chapter 20 and verse 1. And this is after the spies were sent out and the people have rebelled and told they were going to wander for 40 years. And I think that most of the time has already passed by the time we get up to, most of that 40 years has already passed by the time we get to Numbers chapter 20. And the reason I believe that is because if you look at the locations that they travel to and they're wandering, which is given in Numbers 33, it's also given in Deuteronomy. There's also a list there of places they went in their travels, that this is near the end of that. Also, later in that same chapter, we find that Aaron dies on the first day of the fifth month of the 40th year. So I think by the time we get to Numbers chapter 20, the events leading up to that have taken most of the 40 years. And then the events after that are just within that last year. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because we're running a little bit behind, but we have the sequence of events there, defeating the Amorite king Sihon and Og. We have the incident with Balaam that I think we're probably all familiar with. And then in Deuteronomy 1, on the first day of the 11th month of the 40th year, we have Moses addressing the people. And that basically is the book of Deuteronomy, is Moses. I believe there's two addresses that he gives there to the people reiterating the law. So we find that Deuteronomy, like Leviticus, doesn't really have any chronological duration to it. It's Moses, again, reiterating the law, giving them instructions about when they come into the Canaan land, about what they're to do there, warning them about not following after idolatry, what would happen if they did, the blessings they would receive if they continued to follow God. That's the book of Deuteronomy. So we don't really have any chronological duration to Deuteronomy. Now, Leviticus, we were able to assign 8 days of duration to it, the consecration of the priests. But Deuteronomy, there's really no time span there. And then the children of Israel get into the Canaan land, and we can date the amount of time that it took them to conquer by going to Joshua chapter 14. And if we just go there real fast, if you want to turn there. In verses 6 through 11. And here's where the land is being divided up, and a special inheritance was given to Caleb. The children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God." So Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land where your foot is trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old." So we have that it's been 45 years since the spies were sent out. And we don't know exactly when that was, except it would have been pretty soon, I'm sure, because they went straight from when they left Mount Sinai to that point where they sent out the spies. So I would say a matter of months probably is, we could guess, to that point. So I've just assigned 5 years to the conquest of Canaan. So we have most of the 40 years of wandering, and then 5 more years to get that 45 years that Caleb says it's been since he was sent to spy out the land. So it took him about 5 years to conquer the Canaan land. Then we have an indeterminate period of time from after they conquered the land and divided it until Joshua dies at the age of 110. And all we're told about that in the Bible is that it says it was a long time after the completion of the conquest of Canaan. That's in Joshua 23:1. Now, Josephus assigned 25 years that Joshua led the children of Israel. If that's true, I believe that would have made Joshua 5 years older than Caleb. So I think it's a reasonable number. And I've used that number in here, but with a question mark, because I don't wholly, completely think that Josephus is necessarily accurate there, because later on he gives some times for Samuel that don't make any sense at all with the Bible. So I kind of hate to say he's right here and he's not right there, but it's a number, and it's a reasonable number. So I think it's probably in that ballpark. Okay, so the next section in your handout is calendars of feast days and offerings, and we're not going to go through this. I put this in here for your reference. I did these calendars a few years back when I was teaching. I think I was teaching Numbers at the time, and we talked about visual learners and, you know, seeing things visually. I know at the time, just reading through all those sacrifices, you know, it gets kind of laborious. And I was like, I need to see what this looks like on a calendar. What are they doing each day of the month? And so I put together three calendars here. The first one is what I call a typical month of offerings. And then the other two are specifically for the first and seventh months where they had additional feasts in those months, the Passover, the Feast of Booths. And so there's additional Feast of Trumpets. There's additional feast in those months. So if we go past the calendars, and again, that's just for your reference. I thought it was interesting at the time. I still think it's interesting. But you look through and you see the volume, if you will, of sacrifices. Every day there were sacrifices being made. Plus on the new moon, the Sabbath, there were additional ones. And then you had these additional feasts in the first and seventh months. Pages 25 and 26 in your handout is the text behind what's in those calendars there, if you will. So you have the references there that you can go and look at yourself make sure I did it right when I put together the calendars. But that's the source information there for those. Then on page 26, again, since we're talking about chronology here, I thought it'd be good for reference to just mention the Jewish calendar. Occasionally we have mentioned in the Bible about you know, months in the Jewish calendar. And so here's the 12 months, actually 13 in the Jewish calendar. And their calendar is based upon a lunar month. So a lunar cycle is approximately 29 and a half days. So they alternate months being 29 or 30 days in length so that the first of the month is always on a new moon. Now, of course, 12 months at 29 and a half days a month, you know, alternating half of them 29, half of them 30, you end up with 354 days in a year. And a solar year is 365 and a fourth, almost exactly, days long. So they're short by 11 days, 12 days in a leap year. And so what they do is every 2 to 3 years, they add a month into the calendar so that they keep somewhat in sync with the solar year. So they call that 13th month Adar 2. So they have an Adar 1 every year, and then some years they have an Adar 2 added into the year. Unlike, I believe, the Muslim calendar, it's also a lunar calendar, but I believe they don't add in the makeup month. So, yeah, Winnie's nodding her head. So a given event in the Muslim year will roll backwards around. It's like Ramadan each year will be 11 days sooner than it was the year before, and it just rotates around through the year that way. But in the Jewish calendar, they make up that time, like we do in our leap year, but they have a bigger amount to make up. So anyway, that information is just for reference. I thought it was interesting. And yes? That is correct. Right, right. Yeah, I think it can actually start up into early April, depending on, you know, because it'll kind of roll around and come back. And so it oscillates a little bit with our calendar. But, yeah, late March to early April. Okay, so let's go into the chronology of the judges here. And this is the, we'll be getting into the next link in our chain here. And on page 28, I have a table here. And this table is exactly what's in the book of Judges. And I have the references there for you. And what we see in the book of Judges, and I just like to turn to Judges chapter 2. And this kind of gives us the pattern of the book of Judges here, starting in verse 16. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Yet they would not listen to their judges, but they played the harlot with other gods and bowed down to them. They turned quickly from the way in which the fathers walked in obeying the commandments of the Lord. They did not do so. And when the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who oppressed them and harassed them. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they reverted and behaved more corruptly than their fathers by following other gods to serve them and bow down to them. They did not cease from their own doings nor from their stubborn way. So we see here the pattern of the book of Judges, which if you've studied this book before, you're familiar with that pattern. The children of Israel would sin, they would get into idolatry, and God would allow one of the neighboring nations there to rule over them for some period of time, and then a judge would deliver them from that, and they would come back, turn back to God, but then the pattern would repeat, and it repeats over and over again throughout the book of Judges. And so we have here in this table here, we have this pattern. We start out there, they're under the rule of this king of Mesopotamia, but then God delivers them by the judge Othniel, and we're given that they were under the rule for 8 years, that Othniel judged Israel for 40 years, and then the pattern repeats. They're under the rule of Eglon, the king of Moab, for 18 years, and then Ehud and Shamgar judge Israel for a period of 80 years. Then they're under the rule of this king of Canaan for 20 years. Deborah and Barak then delivered them and judge them for 40 years. So we see this pattern continuing all the way through the book of Judges. And I've included in 1 Samuel Eli, because we're told that Eli judged Israel for 40 years. And if you add up the lengths of all these periods of time, you come up with 450 years. And when I did that the first time, I was like, all right, because when you go to Acts chapter 13 in the King James and the New King James, and we'll just turn there for a second. Acts 13. And Paul is addressing the synagogue here in Antioch in Pisidia. And he says, we'll go back to verse 19. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land to them by allotment. After that, he gave them judges for about 450 years until Samuel the prophet. So I was like, well, this is perfect. It adds up to 450 years. That's what Paul said there. Well, then I found 1 Kings 6 and 1. And I was like, ugh, hate it when that happens. So back to my overview in the beginning. Okay, we need to understand where the numbers are coming from. There's not a mistake here. We just need to understand what these numbers mean. So it's like, okay, let's rethink this a little bit here. So, and what I'm referring to, and I'll just draw it on the board. Does someone have, yeah, 1 Kings 6 and 1. Does someone have that and can read it for us? Yeah, go ahead, Butch.
NIV. In the 480th year after the Israelites had come out of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month of Siv, the second month, he began to build the temple of the Lord.
Okay, so that said in the 480th year after they came out of the land of Egypt. So this point in time is out of Egypt, we'll say. And this is, we'll just call it build temple. This is when the temple was started. Okay, so we got a 480-year span there, is what 1 Kings 6 and 1 tells us. 480th year after they came out of the land of Egypt, Solomon begins construction of the temple. Well, what do we have happening in here? Well, we know we've got 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. We're in the fourth year of Solomon's reign, so we got 4 years there. Well, before Solomon reigned, who was king?
David,
how long was he king?
40 years.
Who was king before David?
Saul.
Saul for how long?
40
years. Okay. And then we have this period of judges. Which we think on the surface is 450 years. And we're not even counting maybe the last year, the years when Joshua, during the time of the conquest and until his death, nor are we allowing for any time in here for Samuel. So, now you've learned approximately equals to, this symbol means does not equal. So that is the problem that we have here. And I call it a problem, but it just means, like I said, we need to understand what the numbers mean. They don't mean what they appear to mean on the surface, obviously. So we need to understand what the Bible is telling us here. Now, on page 29, I've given a list of, I address the difficulties. When you read the book of Judges, it sounds like, as I stated, that we have a judge ruling for so many years, followed by them being under the rule of another king for so many years, followed by a judge for so many years. That's what it reads like. But apparently that is not the case. Now, the one exception we have to that is we are told that Samson judged during the time that the Philistines ruled. So we are told that. So we could give ourselves 20 years back out of this. We can make the 450 be 430 because we know Samson's 20 years coincided with the 40 years that they were under the rule of Philistines. But that still doesn't get us to where we need to be with this 480. So let me just get caught up with myself here. Okay, and then an additional problem is when we look at the genealogy of David, that he's just the fifth generation after the Exodus. And then also in Judges 11 and 26, we'll just throw out another variable here to our equation. If someone gets that before me, Judges 11:26. Okay. Okay. Now, the situation here is we have this territory that Israel had gotten from the Amorites when the king Sihon was defeated when they came up out of Egypt, okay? And Israel had occupied this territory for, Jephthah is saying, 300 years. Okay, he says, we've had this territory for 300 years, and he's confronting this king who wants it, and he's saying, well, that's ours. And he said, well, God gave this to us. We've possessed it for 300 years. Why are you now saying that this is your territory? So at that point in time when Jephthah was the judge, and I made a note of it there in the comments by your table there, it had been 300 years from that event in Numbers 21, okay? And if we go back to earlier this morning, we were going through Numbers, we would believe that that was near the end of the 40 years, probably within a year or two at least of the end of the 40 years. Now, the sum of the total numbers there is 319. The sum of the reigns of the judges to that point is 254. So let's talk about the resolution to this. On page 29, most chronologists now believe that the years of oppression in Judges are coincident with the years of the rule of the judges. So to get the duration, we need to just look at the rules of the judge of the reigns. That's not the right word, but when they were under the rule of that of the judges. So we take out the years that it gives that they were under the oppression of another nation, and the total time span, we're given the judges back to back to back. So when it says that, for instance, that Othniel judged Israel for 40 years, included in that would be the 8 years that they were under the rule of Mesopotamia. And I think this makes sense that it's giving us, if we look at like the kings and so forth, there's not gaps in there there isn't gaps at all, but it's giving this chronology. There's always someone, if you will, even though they're under the reign of another king, it's giving the total duration in terms of he was the judge, and then he was the judge, and then he was the judge, and then he was the judge. If that makes sense, probably, I'm not explaining very well. But that is, I believe, what is happening here, is that the total duration is given by the lengths of the rules of the judges there. So if we take that, and then we know that and kind of supporting that is in Judges 15 and 20, we're specifically told that Samson's time as judge overlapped with the 40 years of Philistine rule. Now, note also that there's no indication that the 40 years of Philistine rule, which began in Judges 13 and 1, we'll just look at that here. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. And then after that, we're told about Samson, about his birth, and in his time as judge, and then in Judges 16 is when Samson died. And remember how he brought down the temple of the Philistines there upon himself, and he killed a bunch of them along with himself. There's no indication that event ended that 40 years of Philistine rule. And in fact, when you get into 1 Samuel, you'll find out that they are under the rule of the Philistines at that point in time. And I believe that that's still part of that 40 years. So if we go to, and just to support that, 1 Samuel 4 and 9. Yes. No, thank you. Thanks for offering that. I think I won't be able to talk very well with a cough drop in my mouth. So, okay, and this is when the Philistines are confronting the Israelites in verse 9, and this is the Philistines talking. Be strong and conduct yourselves like men, you Philistines, that you do not become servants of the Hebrews as they have been to you. Conduct yourselves like men and fight. And so that indicates that the Hebrews had been under the rule of the Philistines, I believe, up to that point. So I think that's still part of that 40 years. And then I think that 40 years doesn't end until 1 Samuel chapter 7 and in verse 3 there. Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve him only, he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. Now, this is after the ark was captured back there in that battle what we just read preceded that battle. The ark had been captured by the Philistines. Remember, they put it in their temple, and their idol was falling over. When it was in the presence of the Ark of the Covenant, and the Philistines were glad to get rid of it and give it back to the Israelites. But then it went to Kirjath-Jearim, if I pronounce that right, which I probably didn't, but it stayed there for 20 years. And then at that point, it was brought back, and that's the events of chapter 7 there. And that's when they finally, verses 13 and 14, the Philistines were subdued and they did not come any more into the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. So I believe it's at that point where that 40 years from Judges 13 and 1 of Philistine rule ends. So what does that mean chronologically if that's the case? Well, that puts the events of 1 Samuel chapters 4 through 7 as being very shortly after Samson's death. So chronologically, we have Samson, his time as judge, he gets captured by the Philistines, his last act is to bring down the temple upon himself, and then almost immediately after that, we have in 1 Samuel chapter 4, the Philistines and the Israelites going to battle, the Philistines defeating the Israelites and taking the ark. And then the ark comes back, is kind of stowed away, if you will, for 20 years until finally the end of that 40 years comes in 1 Samuel chapter 7, where the Israelites turn back to God and defeat the Philistines, and they stay subdued throughout the time of Samuel. Now, the other thing that means that Eli's time as high priest was coincident with Samson and Abdon as judges. So some kind of interesting things that come about if we consider the chronology in that way. Now what that does for us, if you turn to page 30, now if we redo this chart, if you will, that was on page 28, if we interpret the numbers this way, okay, what we just talked about there, to where to get the duration, we just have the rules of the judges. Add up those years. Now, sometimes you put together a chart like this and you know, it was a rush to get all this stuff compiled and to the printer, and then you sit back over the last few days and I'm looking at it and like, you know. So I'm going to suggest a modification to my explanation that I have here. Sometimes you listen maybe too much to what someone else has written And you need to just kind of step back and think about it yourself. And what led me to this was Paul's statement about he gave them judges for about 450 years. And I was like, what did he mean by about 450 years? So I started looking at some other translations. And does anyone look, if you have a King James or New King James, I know you won't have this, but do we have some other translations here where in Acts 13, the 450 years is in verse 19 instead of verse 20? Does anyone have a translation, New American Standard? Okay. Yeah, would you read that, please? Read verses 19 and 20. Okay. Is there anyone that reads a little different than that besides the NIV? Does anyone have, well, I think New American Standard reads pretty much that same way, but I think it was the Revised Standard or the New Revised Standard that eliminates it. In yours, it says about 450 years. And then what does it say right after that? Actually, before the 450, it said all of this took about 450 years.
Yeah, he overthrew seven nations in Canaan. And he refers back to God.
Okay.
Canaan gave their land to his people as their inheritance.
Okay. And so when I looked at a commentary I had, and I don't know why I hadn't looked at him before, I guess because I didn't expect him to say anything about this. But and he mentioned that wording, like what's in the NIV and the New American Standard, was closer to what he called better Greek texts. I mean, I guess ones that have been found more recently than the old King James. Now, I can't authoritatively comment on that. I just have to tell you what he said there. And some of these newer translations don't have it where he gave them judges for 450 years. So let's look at what Paul is saying there in Acts 13. And this is a simpler explanation than what I've shown here. Most of what I have here on page 30 still applies. But where I was going here on page 30 was in considering Moses and Joshua as being judges over Israel. So that when Paul said he gave them judges for the space of 450 years, we could include that also. And that was Frank Klassen, his chronology of the Bible. He took that approach. But I was never really comfortable with that, with what the King James, New King James said. But when I considered this, and I looked carefully at everything Paul said there in Acts 13, you might, and turn there, if you will, to Acts 13. And we have Paul addressing the rulers of the synagogue here in Antioch, as he often did, and he's talking about a particular period of time there in his address. Verse 16, he stood up, motioning with his hand, said, "Men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen. The God of this people, Israel, the God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with an uplifted arm he brought them out of it." So what's the starting point of the time span in history that Paul is talking about here?
The Exodus,
okay? So Paul is starting from this point right here. And he continues on. And he says, for a time of about 40 years, he put up with their ways in the wilderness. So he's addressed that right there. He started here. He's addressed that 40 years. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land to them by allotment. Now, if we look at one of these newer translations, it has the 450 years there in verse 19, and all of this took
about 450 years. And then he continues the chronology there, saying, okay, he gave them judges until Samuel the prophet. Afterward, they asked for a king, so he gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he removed him, he raised up for them David as king. And then he jumps from there, and from David, he says it was from David's seed that Jesus came.
So this was Saul. This is David.
So in his address, he starts at this point in time, and he takes them through to David, and then jumps from David and says Jesus is of the seed of David. So the time span he's talking about here is from coming out of Egypt through David. Okay? He's already accounted for that. He said that was 40 years. If we say the 450 was from that point to that point, and he says about 450 years, and another explanation for that, I'll just kind of backtrack for a second here, is that, and I considered this, was that since those numbers added up so perfectly to 450, was that that's what Paul was talking about. But I was like, Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was talking to Pharisees. They knew the law. They knew, you can guarantee they knew about that 480 years. They knew all those numbers in Judges. And Paul, he's not going to, he's going to be accurate when he talks to them. So I'm thinking he knows about this 480 years. He's taken off the 40. He knows there's that the 480 included four here. So we got 480 minus 44. And he's saying about 450 years is what I'm suggesting here. Now, so what that does for your table here on page 30 is where I was going with that was considering Moses and Joshua as judges over Israel, including that in this 450 years that God gave them judges. So if we take that 434 that we have on page 30, I'm going to say take 40 out of that because we're not considering the time Moses judged Israel, because that was the 40 years Paul accounted for already when he said they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. So let's take that out. Let's take out the 38 years that I had where Samuel is judge after Saul is king, because we're going to put in Saul's reign, so we don't want to double count those years. So let's take those out right here. And now we're going to put back in Saul's reign, David's reign. And of course, we've added 80, taken off 78, so we add 2 to our total. So this, in my mind, at this point in time, on August, is it 5th, 2009, is my best understanding of that about 450 years that Paul was referring to. I think that matches nicely with his address, with the specific events. He was talking about the specific period of time that he was addressing there. And if we then look at that 480 years it matches up much more nicely now. That's a much simpler explanation, I think, than considering Moses as a judge and then having to add in those years that Samuel was coincident with Saul, which we don't really know for sure what that number is. I put 38 there. That's what Frank Klassen in his Chronology of the Bible. But the Bible doesn't tell us that number. On the next page, we'll address that a little bit. Did you have a question, Gary? Exactly. Since I was putting this in, I needed to take that out. So let's go on to page 31 and talk a little bit about Samuel as judge over Israel. And we aren't told exactly how long Samuel judged Israel, but what we know is Samuel was still referred to as a boy when Eli was old enough that he was losing his eyesight. Eli died at the same time the ark was taken by the Philistines in 1 Samuel 4. The ark was with the Philistines for 7 months. The ark came back to Israel for 20 years. And then they repented and God granted them deliverance from the Philistines. And Samuel judged for some period of time after this until he was old and anointed Saul as king. Remember, the people said, Samuel, you're old. Give us a king. But he was old, but he had to have lived long enough after Saul was made king that he was still around when David and Saul were warring. And we know that David was how old when he became king? He was 30, exactly. So David wasn't even born until Saul had been king for 10 years. And so David was a grown man. He was married. He was involved in these wars. He had his own little army and he was a grown man in his 20s, undoubtedly at that point. I'm sure he wasn't a teenager still, and he wasn't 30 yet. So Samuel had to have lived well into the reign of Saul, well over 30 years into the reign of Saul. So I think that 38 number is a reasonable number. I think it's around there somewhere for how long Samuel was around still into the reign of Saul. So the one number in the table there that we have to infer is the 12 years where Samuel was judge after the ark was returned to Israel, but before Saul is anointed king. Okay, let's jump into the chronology of Ruth, and then I'll open it up for questions here. Okay, Ruth, we know that book took place during the time of the judges. So we can't know exactly when it took place. We're not told. But we can kind of estimate based upon the chronology of Judah. And I've listed there the chronology of Judah. And who in that chronology is in the book of Judges? Boaz, right. So we can see where Boaz falls there. And then we see that Nahshon was the leader of Judah during the Exodus from Egypt. He's listed there in Numbers 2 and 3. And so we're the second generation after the Exodus, and Boaz was the great-grandfather of David. So I'm putting Ruth more towards the earlier part of the judges, probably during the time that Ehud and Shamgar, during that 80-year time span, which is chronicled in Judges 3, 15 to 31. So we're 5 minutes after the hour. We got 10 minutes left. If there are questions at this point. Yes, sir. Tom in the back there.
I don't know if you're going to be getting to this tomorrow, but I just noticed in 1 Kings 6, verse 1, It actually says that it was 480 years after Israel left Egypt that the temple was built, and it was in the second year of Solomon's reign.
Right. Yeah, we just did talk about that, and reconciling that with the period of the judges that were given there. So yeah, thank you. Yeah, Mark has a question.
Just as a side note, in your list of the chronological of Ruth, which of the descendants here was actually involved in the captivity in Egypt, slavery? Have Judah would have been one, or of those groups there would have been involved in that.
Well, Nashon was the leader when they came out, so he certainly would have been there in the captivity, and the ones prior to him up to the group that came to Egypt, which would have included Judah. I'm sure Perez was probably already born when they came to Egypt. As we discussed yesterday, we're not really sure exactly when the Egyptians physically enslaved them. It was after Joseph had died, which we know from yesterday's discussion was 71 years into their time in Egypt, if I remember that correctly from yesterday's discussion. So Nashon, Amminadab, Ram, probably Hezron, Perez may have still been alive when they enslaved them. I don't know for sure.
Well, from Judah down to Nashon, all of those at one time had lived in Egypt.
Oh, yes. Yes, up through Nashon. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep, that is correct. That is correct. Well, if we don't have any more questions, I'm going to go ahead and get us started into the chronology of the kings. And what you have here is, I start off on page 34 with Saul, David, and Solomon, and we already talked about their reigns. Each of them was 40 years, and I give the references there. And then I have a table of the kings of Judah and a table of the kings of Israel. And just to make sure we're all on the same page here, that we all understand that Saul was the first king anointed as requested by the people. They wanted a king. They wanted to be like the nations around them. God warned them the trouble that they would get into when they had a king, which certainly came to pass. But he allowed them to have a king. And Saul was the first. He reigned for 40 years. And then God chose David to reign for 40 years. And David was the first in the lineage of kings, if you will, that led up to Christ eventually. It was through David's seed that Christ would come. So we have that 120 years, and then when Solomon's son Rehoboam became king, remember he imposed the heavy burden upon the people, and they rebelled against that, and we have the split. And we have the northern kingdom, commonly referred to as Israel, which was 10 of the tribes, and then the southern kingdom, which was Judah, Benjamin, and the Levites after Jeroboam kicked them out of the northern kingdom and set up his idols and his own worship and his own priests there in the northern kingdom. So just make sure everyone's on the same page with that sequence of events there. And that leads us to these two tables of kings of the southern kingdom of Judah, which lasted longer, and the northern kingdom of Israel. The dates that are in here are the dates given by Edwin Thiel. And we'll just take a few minutes here to kind of introduce the subject to get you ready for tomorrow. Try to get a good night's sleep tonight. I may not, because I'm going to be trying to work up some examples that we'll go through tomorrow. when you look at the chronology of the kings here, we have multiple sources of information, which turns out to be a good thing. At first, it makes it seem like it's terribly confusing, it's terribly contradictory, but the sources of information that we have are, and if you turn back to your chart here on page 5, where we had the books of the Bible chronologically, we have, covering this time span, we have the books of 1 and 2 Kings, which start with David's death. Okay, so we have the reign of Solomon and then into the divided kingdom. And then parallel with that, covering the same period of time and many of the same events, is the book of 2 Chronicles. Okay, the Chronicles is the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah. So we have the Kings of Judah in 2 Chronicles. 1 and 2 Kings give us both the Kings of Judah and the Kings of Israel. In 1 and 2 Kings, we have the links of the reigns of each of the kings of Israel and Judah. In 2 Chronicles, we have the links of the reigns of the kings of Judah. And in each of those, in 1 and 2 Kings, and in 2 Chronicles, we have synchronism between the two. So it tells us that King so-and-so reigned for X number of years, and he came to the throne in such-and-such year of the king of the other kingdom. Okay? Does that make sense? If it doesn't, let's look at our table here on page 35, let's look at the kings of the southern kingdom. And we see the first king was Rehoboam. His length of reign is given to 17 years. The next king is Abijah. His length of reign was 3 years. And we're told that he came to the throne in the 18th year of Jeroboam. And we find Jeroboam in the list of the kings of the northern kingdom, okay? And he reigned for 22 years. So in his 18th year, Abijam came to the throne in Judah, okay? And you can go on down the list there. The next king is Asa. He reigned for 41 years. He came to the throne in the 20th year of Jeroboam. So Abijam only reigned for 3 years. And then he started in the 18th year, and then the 20th year, Asa came to the throne. And already right off the bat, if you're not asleep, you may say, well, he reigned for 3 years. How come it only goes from the 18th to the 20th year? Well, we will talk about that. And it gets a whole lot worse than that as you get down through there. But the reason I'm using Edwin Thiel's numbers, and there's other chronologies I just got this handout of John's yesterday, and he lists Thiel's chronology along with a few others. They're all pretty close. But in Thiel's book on this, I really liked his approach. And in the beginning here, in our ground rules and assumptions, I said, apparent contradictions in the Bible are not errors in the Bible. They mean we just don't understand what the number, just like we talked about today. You know, it looked like there's a contradiction there between what Paul said and what we have there in Judges. Well, it's not a contradiction. We just need to understand what the numbers mean. And that was Thiel's approach, because so many scholars see all these apparent contradictions and they just throw it out and say, oh, the Bible's just all messed up. And his approach was, we just need to understand what the numbers mean. And there's several variables involved there. One is, how did they count the years of the reign? And there's two methods in practice at that time. We'll talk about those tomorrow. And also co-regencies, where two kings were on the throne, if you will, at the same time, where one king came to the throne before the other king was done. And interestingly, he found that the Bible is very consistent in
if you look at the numbers, you can see a very consistent pattern and be able to find those. So we won't have, we could spend a two-week study just talking about the kings of Israel and Judah and the chronology there, but I'll try to give you a couple of examples tomorrow and refer you to his book if you want to have more details about where those dates came from. Thank you for your attention. We're about a minute over. Sorry about that. 10:30.